بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. قرآن شریف پڑھنے کا بیان. This is a chapter on recitation of the Quran Sharif. That in Salah, the recitation of Quran Sharif should also be correct. So he says, Quran Sharif ko sahih sahih parna wajib hai. It is wajib, it is compulsory for a person to recite the Quran Sharif correctly. Allama Jazri rahmatullah alayhi has written, he says, wal aqdu bi tajweedi hatmun lazimun. مَنْ لَمْ يُجَوِّدِ الْقُرْآنَ فَهُوَ آثِمٌ. That to recite the Qur'an with tajweed, this is lazim, this is obligatory. And a person that does not read the Qur'an with tajweed, then such a person آثِمٌ, he's gunagar, such a person is a sinner. So therefore he says it's wajib to recite the Qur'an Sharif correctly. هَرْ حَرْفْكُ تِيكْ تِيكْ پَرَي. Every letter should be recited correctly. حَمْزَا اور عَيْن میں جو فرق ہے, that the difference between a حَمْزَا, what we call sometimes the alif, the hamza and the ayn. Isi tarah bari ha aur ha mein, and the difference between the big ha, which is from the throat, and the one which is what we call the small ha. Aur za, va, za, dod mein, and the difference between za, va, za, and dod. Aur seen, sod, sa mein, and the difference between seen, sod, and sa. These are all very, very close to each other, their pronunciation. But there is a difference between all of them. Metik nikal ke pare. So this should be pronounced properly from its correct makhraj, from the place where it is pronounced, and recited correctly. Ek harf ki jaga dusra harf na pare. A person should not read one letter in place of another letter. For example, if a person sometimes he says, Qalb, for example, the word qalb. Qalb is heart. Now, the qaf has to be pronounced from the throat. So, if a person doesn't pronounce it properly, and he just says qalb, so here it refers to a dog. So, see, when one letter is not pronounced properly, what a difference it makes. Agar kisi se koi harf nahi nikalta, if a person is unable to pronounce a harf correctly, jaise ha ki jaga ha parti hai. For example, where a person is supposed to be reading the big ha. So a person now is reading ha, the small ha. Ya ayn nahi nikalta. Or a person is unable to pronounce the ayn. Ya sa, seen, sod. Sab ko seen hi parti hai. Or a person, he reads the seen, sod, all as seen. So sahi parne ki mashq parna lazim hai. It is lazim, it is compulsory for a person now to go and practice by some qari, that how can I pronounce these letters correctly. A person can't just sit back and say, you know what, I can't read. No, a person has to make an effort. He has to go by some qari, somebody that's an expert, and try and learn how to recite these words correctly by him. Agar sahi parne ki mehnat na karegi, to gunahgar hogi. If a person doesn't make an effort, doesn't go to a qari sahab, and say, you know what, I'm unable to pronounce these letters, so I need to practice under you how to pronounce. So he just leaves it as it is, then such a person will be sinful, will be gunegar. Or iski koi namaz sahi na hogi. And the salah of a person also won't be in order. Because your recitation is not in order, you're going to be changing the meaning, so your salah also won't be in order. Albatta, agar mehnat se bhi durusti na ho, to lachari hai. However, if a person makes an effort to correct his recitation, correct the letters, but he is unable to correct it, maybe because of old age, or maybe because a person just can't get it onto his tongue. Now such a person is excused, because what was within his ability he has done. He tried to correct the recitation, but now he wasn't able to correct it. So now there's nothing he can do, he won't be held responsible for that. But initially he must go and make the effort. Agar ha, ayn, waghaira, sab harf nikalte to hai, lekin aisi beparwai se parti hai, کہ ہا کی جگہ ہا اور عین کی جگہ حمزہ ہمیشہ پر جاتی ہے. He says sometimes, if a person is able to pronounce the ha, the عین, all these letters correctly, person has the ability, and he knows how to pronounce it correctly also. But a person doesn't care about his recitation. So because he has a don't care attitude in regards to his recitation, a person instead of ha, he reads a small ha. Or instead of عین, a person is now reading حمزہ. کچھ خیال کر کے نہیں پڑھتی تب بھی گنہگار ہے. Person doesn't bother, doesn't care about it, that how am I reciting, then also a person is a gunegar, a person is a sinner. Why? You have the ability, you know how to read it. But you have a don't care attitude. Therefore, a person will be sinful. Or namaz sahi nahi hoti. And the salah of a person won't be correct. That is why you'll have the halqas of the tajweed, where our at least the last 10 surahs are rectified, are corrected. So the salah can be correct. Because if the recitation is not correct, and the meaning is changing, then sometimes the entire namaz becomes fasid. The entire namaz is corrupt. For example, in the faraz namaz, a person, he made a mistake, and he changed the meaning. So the moment a person made a mistake in the faraz namaz, and he changed the meaning, to such an extent that the namaz becomes invalid, there and there, the namaz is invalid. Even if he corrects that mistake after that, in the faraz namaz, a person, he, for example, he said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those that have iman, and they do righteous actions. So he said, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ, they are the people of Jahannam. So he changed the whole meaning. He said, people that bring iman and do righteous deeds, they are the people of Jahannam. So now he realized in the faraz namaz, hey, I read wrong. So he quickly changed it. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. Now he corrected it. He said, they are the people of Jannah, which is correct. But although he corrected it, in the faraz namaz, namaz is invalid. You got to read the namaz again. In the Taraweeh Salah, yes, now he made such a mistake, where he said that they are people of Jahannam, those that have iman and do righteous deeds. But after that somebody corrected him, or he corrected it himself, and he said, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. In Taraweeh we say, no problem. Because in Taraweeh, if namaz is going to become invalid every time the imam makes a mistake, what time will finish Taraweeh? 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. So every mistake you have to repeat the 2 rakats again. Yes, in the Taraweeh salah, if such a mistake is made, and it wasn't corrected, and the imam made salam, and he terminated the salah, then they say, you know what, imam sahab, you made this mistake, and it wasn't corrected in salah. Now you have to repeat the 2 rakats again. If it is corrected, no problem. If it's not corrected, then in Taraweeh also it has to be repeated. So therefore he says, when the recitation is not correct, the salah of a person will not be correct. Jo surat pehli rakat mein pari hai, wohi surat dusri rakat mein phir par gayi, to bhi kuch haraj nahi. If a person, he read one surah in the first rakat, he read surah Fatiha, and he read, for example, Ara'ita alladhi yukadhibu biddin, he read the surah. Now in the second rakat, a person, he read the same surah again. He read surah Fatiha, and he read the same surah. So he says, there's no problem. There's no haraj, there's no harm if a person did this. Lekin be zururat aisa karna behtar nahi. But if there's no need, there's no necessity, then a person shouldn't do so. It's best that a person refrains from doing so. Every rakat read a different surah. Jis tarah kalam-e majid mein surat aage peeche likhi hai, namaz mein isi tarah parna chahe. In the Quran Sharif, as we find that the surahs have been written in the Quran Sharif, the format, the sequence that they have been written in, exactly according to that sequence, a person should perform his salah. Jis tarah amma ke sipare mein likhi hai, is tarah na pare. It says amma sipara. You know the children, when they go to the maktab, they have a special amma sipara for them. So there the sequence is not, many sometimes it's not according to how it is written in the Quran Sharif. That sequence is a little different. Why? Because maybe they bring the easier surahs for the child to memorize first, then they bring the difficult ones. So the sequence is altered. So he says in namaz, don't follow that amma sipara, but follow the sequence that in the Quran Sharif. Yani jab pehli rakat mein koi surat pare, to ab dusri rakat mein iske baad wali surat pare. In the first rakat, a person he read a surah from the Quran. So when he is reading the second rakat, he must read a surah that comes after that, not a surah before that. Isse pehle wali surat na pare. Jaise kisi ne pehli rakat mein kul ya ayyuhal kafirun pari. Now in the Quran, a person recited kul ya ayyuhal kafirun in the first rakat. To ab idha jaa ya kul huwa Allah, ya kul a'udhu bi rabbil falak, ya kul a'udhu bi rabbil nas pare. Now, after kul ya ayyuhal kafirun comes idha jaa. So you can read idha jaa in the second rakat. Tabbat yada you can read. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهِ you can read. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ you can read. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ you can read. Why? Because all these surahs, they come after قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. So all these surahs you can read that are after. اور أَلَمْ تَرَى اور لِئِلَا فِي وَغَيْرَى اس کے اوپر کی سورت نہ پڑے. But before قُلْ يَا الْكَافِرُونَ, before قُلْ يَا الْكَافِرُونَ is, for example, إِنَّا عَصَيْنَا, that comes before. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي لِئِلَا فِي قُرَيْشِ أَلَمْ تَرَى, those surahs you must read. Because now, in the first rakat, you read Kul Ya Al-Kafirun, now you must go downwards. Ki is tarah parna makruh hai. If a person, he read, for example, Kul Ya Al-Kafirun in the first rakat, and second rakat, he went to Alam Tarah, he went up now. Instead of going down, he went up. Then this is makruh. This act is makruh in salah. لیکن اگر بھولے سے اس طرح پر جاوے تو مکروہ نہیں ہے. But if a person forgetfully, now for example a person while he was reading he forgot which surah he read, and then he went up, he went to Alam Tara after reading Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun in the first rakat. So he says then it won't be makruh, then it will be okay. Sometimes it happens a person in the first rakat he reads Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas. Now in the second rakat what is he going to read? So that person he must read Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas in the second rakat also, because that's the last surah. So now after this you read the same surah again in the second rakat. جب کوئی سورت شروع کرے تو بے ضرورت اس کو چھوڑ کر دوسری سورت شروع کرنا مکروہ ہے. When a person he starts one surah, now without a need he leaves that surah and he starts another surah for no reason, there's no reason, he just leaves that surah and he starts another surah, this is makruh. It's a different case where the imam he's reading and for example he got stuck, or a person individually he's reading and he got stuck in the surah, now he can't think what's ahead, so then if he leaves that surah and he starts another surah there's no problem. But without necessity, don't leave that surah and now start another surah. جس کو نماز بالکل نہ آتی ہو یا نئی مسلمان ہوئی ہو, a person that does not know how to read namaz at all, or a person just accepted Islam, وہ سب جگہ سبحان اللہ وغیرہ پڑھتی رہے. Then everywhere, just read سبحان اللہ. Because a person just accepted Islam, so he's sort of taking time. By the time he learns Surah Fatiha, he runs the surah, he learns what to perform in the various postures of salah, so initially just subhanallah. So faraz ada ho jayega, then the faraz will be discharged. Lekin namaz barabar seekhti rahe. But a person, whilst reading his namaz, reciting subhanallah, because namaz is not obligatory, he has to read namaz. So in namaz you'll read subhanallah. But with that, side by side, now a person must learn how to perform salah, learn the surah, start learning now. Agar namaz seekhne mein koi kotahi karegi, to bohot gunegar hogi. If a person now is deficient, doesn't go and learn how to read namaz, then a person will be sinful. So a person, initially can learn that, and then later on a person can read subhanallah, and later on he can start learning how to perform salah. Many a times people ask about the witr namaz. They don't know the dua-e-qunut. So what can be recited in place of dua-e-qunut? So here also dua-e-qunut, a person must try and learn the dua-e-qunut. But if a person doesn't know the dua-e-qunut, then a person can read Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina azab an-nar. Or three times a person can read Allahumma ghfirli, Allahumma ghfirli, Allahumma ghfirli. So that is also sufficient. But would that try to learn the dua-e qunut of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala? There are different qunuts. One of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, one of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. The Hanafis, they read the qunut of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. And the Shafis, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. So we should try and learn the qunut if you're a Hanafi, the one of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Shafi, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. Namaz tor dene wali cheeze ka bayan, we just do one or two points from here. Those things that invalidate the salah of a person. Pasdan ya bhule se namaz mein bol uti, to namaz jati rahi. If a person speaks in namaz, intentionally or unintentionally, the namaz of a person immediately becomes nullified. Namaz breaks. For example, one imam sahab, he was reading the Tarawih salah. So he read incorrectly. So the person that was giving lukma from the back, he told him he was reading in the sixth para, فَبِمَا نَقْتِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ. So now he wanted to bring him back there. So he forgot. So the person giving lukma, he said, read, فَبِمَا نَقْلِهِمْ. So see, when he said, read, so he spoke. So the moment he spoke, namaz becomes invalid. So whether it's intentional or unintentional, the moment you speak, namaz becomes invalid. Namaz mein ah, ya oh, ya uf, ya hai kahe, ya zor se rove, to namaz jati rahi. Person makes any noise, ah, oh, uf, because of pain or whatever reason, namaz is invalid. So a person should refrain from making these noises. Albatta, agar jannat wa dozakh ko yaad karne se dil bhar aaya, but a person was reading and he heard about the ayat of jannat or jahannam, and now the person became emotional, and because of which, or zor se awaz ya ah, ya uf waghaira bhi nikal jawe, to namaz nahi tuti. And because of this, for example, a person started crying, and he said, ah, because of jannat or because of jahannam, then the namaz of a person is not invalid. بے ضرورت کھنکارنے اور گلا صاف کرنے سے جس سے ایک آدھ حرف بھی پیدا ہو جاوے نماز ٹوٹ جاتی ہے. Many people got this habit. The imam صاحب, he is an exception from the rule, because he is performing salah. So sometimes he's got phlegm in the throat, and there are those seasons of the year where, for example, the sinus is troubled. Now there's phlegm in the throat, so the imam صاحب has to clear his throat. But when he starts clearing his throat, all the musallis also now start clearing their throat. So for them is makruh, they shouldn't clear the throat. Now, in the clearing of the throat, if, for example, half a harf is created, half a letter, not a full letter, even half the letter is pronounced, namaz of a person becomes invalid. Albatta, lachari aur majboori ke waqt, kankarna durust hai aur namaz nahi jati. But if a person is forced, as I said, like he's an imam, and he has performed salah, so he is forced now to clear his throat so the musallis can hear him, then it is permissible for him to clear his throat and continue with the salah. Now he did the method of performing ghusl, the procedure for performing ghusl. Now he mentions what are the faraid of ghusl, that we should know what is farad in ghusl as well. Number one, passing water into and out of the mouth. So when a person goes to make ghusl, he must gargle his mouth. That is a farad of ghusl. Number two, pouring water into the nostrils. That a person puts water into the nostrils. And number three, passing water over the entire body. That is a ghusl. That you put water into the mouth, gargle, into the nose, and over the entire body. The procedure that we discussed on Saturday, that is the sunnah method of ghusl. But the farz of ghusl is just these three things. If a single portion is left dry, the ghusl will not be valid. Like in wudu, we said if a single portion is left dry, wudu is not valid. Here too, if a single portion is left dry, ghusl will not be valid. Rings, earrings, nail polish, dry flour, fat, etc. should be removed to ensure that no portion covered by them is left dry. If a woman is wearing her ring or anything of this sort, all this will have to be removed to ensure that water now touches every part of the body. The navel and ears should be wet. See, a person should ensure he puts water into the ears. In the navel also, a person should put his finger into the navel and ensure that water reaches into the navel as well. If not, the ghusl will be incomplete. And if the ghusl is incomplete, then after that, what happens to the salah that a person is performing? There's a problem there as well. If after ghusl, one recalls that a certain section has been left dry, it is not necessary to repeat the ghusl. So a person, like in wudu, we discuss the same masla, that we find one part has been left out. Now after ghusl, you remember, oh, this part has been left out. Now you don't have to make ghusl all over again. Merely wash the dry portion. What has been dry, just go water, put water over it, wash it, it's fine. It is not sufficient to pass a wet hand over the dry place. Not just a wet hand, but water must be taken and water must be put over it. Note, if the hair of a woman are plaited, she is excused from loosening the plaited hair. But it is compulsory for her to wet the base of each and every hair. A woman, she's got a plait. So this plait that she got, now it's a big job to open it up and to tie it up again. So the fuqaha has given her some concession. They say for her, she must just go when she goes to wash. Then she should wash the hair without opening the plait. But the root of the hair, that must be wet. She must ensure that the water reaches the root of the hair. If she fails to do so, then the ghusl will not be valid. If she is unable to wet the very bottom of the plaited hair, she must unplait her hair and wash the entire hair. As for men who grow long hair, they must wash all the hair. That this concession is not for men. It is only for women. Those that want to keep zulfa, long hair. For them, they must ensure that all the hair is washed properly. It is for this reason, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, that he took completely remove his hair. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala never kept the long hair. He removed his hair. Because that janabat, if for example, if he's in a state of janabat, impurity, and the water didn't reach the hair, every span of hair was not washed. So now the ghusl of a person is incomplete. And there's a hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, something to the effect, I cannot recall now correctly, about the fire of Jahannam even touching. So because of that he said, "Wa min thamma adaytu ra'si." From then I became an enemy to my head. That meaning the hair that was there, I removed my hair completely. It is permissible to leave the head dry and wash the rest of the body if it is harmful to apply water to the head due to some sickness or ailment. Person got a sickness, now he cannot wash the hair, or he can't wash the head, then a person is excused. However, once the person is cured of his sickness, it is compulsory to wash the head. See, if medicine is applied to blisters on the feet or hands, then it is not necessary to remove the medication. This we done in wudu also. That where, for example, is going to be harmful to a person, now you don't have to remove that medication. Just pour the water over it. Merely pour water over it. And D, when having a farad bath, it is necessary to remove false teeth if they are removable. Person has got false teeth that are removable, that has to be removed. Similarly, if anything is stuck between the teeth, then it must be removed before bathing. For example, there's something that is now stuck. Person has gaps between the teeth. And some food particle is stuck over there. So that food particle also must be removed before a person takes the ghusl. So now we continue from this. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We have commenced with the taqreer, the bayan of Shah Ahmed Shaheed rahmatullahi alayh. And initially he mentioned what is the salah that we perform, that how important is salah and how great is salah. And thereafter he mentioned that although salah is so great, that the ibadat of every makhluk of Allah Ta'ala is in it, but then to what is the condition is the presence of the heart, that the heart must be present. And he says according to the amount of presence of the heart, that is how a person will get sawab also for his salah. Somebody will get, for example, he said half, somebody one third, somebody one fifth, one sixth, one seventh, right up to one tenth. For he gave examples. He said that is how much of sawab a person is going to get in his salah. So he said there's various ways of gaining this concentration and the presence of our heart in salah. The one way he said was this, that in every rukun, in every posture, a person should think of Allah Ta'ala. He's standing now, so think that now I'm standing before Allah Ta'ala. When he goes into ruku, think now I'm in ruku, I'm before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When I'm in sajda before Allah Ta'ala. So he says this is one way of gaining concentration in our salah, that every rukun think of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Another way he had mentioned is that a person should think of the meaning of the words that we are reciting. For example, the du'as that we are reciting, the tasbihat that we are reciting, and the surahs that we are reciting, he says, think of that. Then, by thinking of the meaning, he says, this is also regarded as concentration in salah, that the heart of a person is present in salah. Thereafter, he also made mention, he said that a person should think, a person that is seeking iman, he should think, that what is this reality of namaz? He said that the reality of namaz is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me, this is where we stop. He said, Allah Ta'ala created me the best among the entire creation. Insan has been created as the best. This is the best creation of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And this best creation of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, with great emphasis, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, that now 5 times a day, you must present yourself in my court. 5 times a day and you've got general permission. Come in the masjid 5 times a day and present yourself 5 times a day in the masjid. Or muhtaj awar ki idhan. Or ihsan man kisi darban ya naqib ka nahi kiya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't make us in need of the permission of some guard or somebody that will do a favor. For example, a person, he came late for namaz. Now there's a parking lot somewhere, but it's full. So now there's a guard that's monitoring that area. So what we tell him, say, hey, please man, you know what, I'm going to miss my prayers. Do me a favor, let me just park here. I'll come straight after prayers and I'll come and move my car. So here we're asking, begging the man, let me park over here. And I'll be back just now in 5-6 minutes, I'll come and I'll remove my car. So when we came to the masjid, Allah Ta'ala didn't make it such that there was a guard there. And that guard, we asked him permission. Please, let me go in the masjid, let me go and read the mosque. No, isn't there mutlaq? The general permission. Whoever wants, come into the masjid, and whichever time you want to come, 24 hours, come into the masjid, and come and perform your salah. Unfortunately, today we're living in times where there's security problems. Because of which the masjid has to be kept closed. But go to the Haram Sharif, Makkah Sharif, 24 hours the masjids are open. Madinatul Munawwara, before they used to close it at night for cleansing up. Now 24 hours Madinatul Munawwara also, the haram is open 24 hours. So a person has got permission to come into the masjid at any time. And this Allah Ta'ala emphasizes, that come and read your salah in the masjid. Aur ghair haziri par wada sakht azab ka farmaya. And then look how Allah Ta'ala, one is Allah Ta'ala made us the best. And then Allah Ta'ala emphasizes, you must come to my house also and make my ibadat. And Allah Ta'ala then warns us that if you do not come and you're not going to perform your salah, then my punishment is also very, very severe. That, so in other words, a person has got no excuse except to go into the masjid and perform salah. The example of this is given is, for example, that the father, he wanted to get, he was getting his children married. So before he got his children married, he gave each one whatever they needed. He gave them a house, he gave them all the equipment of the house, every son. And then he got all his children married. Now when all his children were married, now he still had a little bit left over. So when he had that little bit left over, he told his children, right, this Sunday all of you must come home. And whilst I'm living, I want to give you. Whatever I have, I want to give you. Although the matter of Shariat is that if a person, whilst he's living, he can give whoever he wants. But they also, fuqaha have written, there must be equalness amongst all your children, whether it's girls or boys. When you're living and you're distributing amongst your children, they must be equalless. And it is makruh to deprive a particular child and give more to another child. So they also, they must be equalless. So he said that this Sunday all of you all must come home. And I'm going to give you all whatever I have remaining, I want to distribute it amongst you all. So see, the father did everything and he still wants to give them more. But then what he says, if you don't come this Sunday, if you're not going to come, then even what I gave you, then I'm going to take that back. Obviously, that's not the masalah, just to explain the point. He says, that also I'm going to take it back from you. That whatever I have given you. So exactly the same way Allah Ta'ala is saying, if you're not going to come, I made you the best. My house is open for you 24 hours. But if you don't come and you're not going to perform salah, then even that I'm going to punish you. I'm going to send a severe punishment upon you. And Allah Ta'ala made it so easy also, that not only did Allah Ta'ala say perform your salah, but also with that Allah Ta'ala gave the muazzin the job, that now you call out, remind my bandas, that now is the time of salah, they must also come to the masjid. Or janna chahiye, ke aisi ni'mat-e uzma se mahroom rehna, aur wada sakh azab ka sar par lena, bari nadani aur kameena pan hai. And then he says that understand this much, that's such a great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. To be deprived of this great bounty of Allah and to take this severe punishment on our head, that now a person still doesn't go to the masjid. So he says this is total foolishness and this is an indication that how low and how base a person can become. That a person goes to this extent that Allah Ta'ala is giving so much and then Allah Ta'ala warns you that if you don't come I'm going to punish you and still you don't go. This is an indication a man is foolish and a man is so base. But isi tarah azmat namaz ki khub samajh kar tamam adab ke lai ke qabooliyat bargahe badshah haqeeqi ke hove baja lawe. And he says, in the same way, understand the greatness of namaz. Understand the greatness of namaz and implement and bring all those etiquettes, all those adab that will make your namaz worthy of acceptance, implement and bring that also. That when you're performing salah, all those etiquettes that are required by which your namaz will become accepted in the court of Allah, ensure that that also is brought in so that your namaz is accepted. Now he gives an example, what are these etiquettes? He says, pehle taharat aur paakizgi kare. That before a person performs salah, first he has to cleanse himself, first he has to purify himself. Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Dulyawi rahmatullahi alayh, very great alim, his Shaykh was Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib rahmatullahi alayh. Whenever he used to go to the majlis of his Shaykh, Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib rahmatullahi alayh, so much of adab he had for his Shaykh, that first he will take a ghusl, first he will take a bath, and then he will attend the majlis of his Shaykh. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, when he said to write a hadith, how Allah Ta'ala has accepted his kitab in the whole world. But he will take ghusl first. And then he will sit down and he will record a hadith and write down a hadith. So here also, a person is coming to speak to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So first, go and cleanse yourself. First, purify yourself. When you have cleansed yourself, now come before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and now engage in conversation with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Yani wuzu kare. Or jo hajat nahane ki ho, ghusl kare. Person should make wudu. And if a person has a need to take a ghusl, is in a state of janabat, of impurity, now a person is required to take a ghusl. So take ghusl. Jaisa ke koi jab badshah ke darbar ke jane ka irada karta hai, pehle hammam karta hai, phir kapre pehen ke jata hai. Just like a person, he wants to go to the court of the king. Before you go to the court of the king, what happens? First a person, he takes a bath. He cleanses himself. He'll wear the best of clothing. And then he goes to visit the king. In today's time, there's no king. But if a person is going to a wedding, how he does himself up, how he'll do his hair up also, and then he'll wear the cleanest of clothes, and now he'll go to the to that wedding. Or he's going to a jalsa. There also, how he'll do himself up, even the young little children, when they qualify, how they'll wear that imama and everything up to date. First take a ghusl, and then they go to the jalsa. So when we come to Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, so how much more important shouldn't be attached that a person cleanses himself, purifies himself, and then he comes before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this is the first bayan of Shah Ahmed Tahir rahmatullahi alayh. Now Sufi Iqbal, he summarizes. He told us in the beginning that I will bring the summary after every bayan. So he summarizes it. He says, Hazrat rahmatullahi alayh ki is bayan mein char baatein hain. He said, in this bayan of Hazrat Shah Ahmed Tahir rahmatullahi alayh, there were four things that we explained in this bayan. He said, awwal, namaz ki ahmiyat jisko bar bar par kar dil mein bithana hai. He said, the importance of namaz. How important is namaz in the life of a believer? He says, this importance of namaz, we have to read it and read it and read it until it is embedded in our heart. That continue reading it until it is embedded in our heart. اور جس کے لیے حضرت شیخ رحمۃ اللہ علیہ کا رسالہ فضائل نماز کا مطالعہ بھی مفید ہے. اینڈ ہی سیز دیٹ دا اسٹڈنگ دا فضائل نماز آف حضرت شیخ رحمۃ اللہ علیہ دس از ایکسٹریملی بینیفیشل وچ از ڈن ان فضائل اعمال دیٹ ریسائز دس کنٹینیوسلی. Not that one time a person read fazail namaz, now it's over. No, again and again. That is why kitab reading is done every day. They read it again and again, so that the reality now settles into the heart of a person. So the first thing was the importance of namaz. Dom. Sab se pehle isko dil mein baar baar soche, ke namaz ka hukam mere upar koi bojh ya tawaan nahi hai. That a person should think again and again, that this salah that I am performing, is this not a penalty, or is it not a burden upon me? That am I not finding it that this is a difficulty upon me that I have to perform salah? That salah shouldn't be a burden upon a person. Salah, a person should do it happily. That a person, now I'm going to be in conversation with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it shouldn't be a burden upon a person. Balke bohot bari ni'mat aur ihsan hai. This is a great bounty, a favor of Allah ta'ala. And it is the kindness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed us with this salah, gave us the opportunity of coming into His court, jiska shukriya ada nahi ho sakta hai, which we can never ever thank Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for. We can never make enough shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for that two rakats of salah that Allah ta'ala gave us, for that one sajda that we are making. We can never make shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that so valuable is that one sajda. And I mentioned previously also those things in which there is the most benefit, Allah Ta'ala made for us. Whatever there was most benefit in, Allah Ta'ala made that for us. And in that which there was most harm, whether it was the harm of the health of a person, or whether the character of a person, whether the deen of a person, that Allah Ta'ala made haram. That this is haram. There's most harm, that is why it is haram. Don't even come close to it. For example, a person, Allah Ta'ala has made khamar, wine has been made haram. Why Ummul Khaba'if? This is the mother of all evil. A man that drinks wine, he can't make out the difference. This is my mother, and this is my sister, and this is my daughter. So what wrong he will get involved in when he's going to drink that wine? So Allah Ta'ala made it haram. The same applies with drugs. The same effect is found when a person takes drugs. So that is why that has been made haram as well. Similarly, we find music. Music has been made haram. Why? Where does music take a person? Person might think, what's the music? Al-ghina ruqiyatu zina. This is a stepping stone to zina. When you go, when all these nightclubs and these discos and all are taking place, what happens? It starts off over there. And then from there it goes on to zina and drugs and everything else. So look how Allah Ta'ala protected us. Allah Ta'ala, so to say, cut out the problem from the root. That don't even take this root and you will be protected in future. So that which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made haram, in that there is only benefit for us. For example, in this dunya, a person is diabetic, he goes to a doctor. Doctor says, you know what, you mustn't have this, you can't have this, you can't have this. Whole list doctor gives you. But to that doctor, we make so much of shukr. We thank him. Hey, you know what, since I'm practicing on this diet, and we pay him also for it. We pay him for the diet. You go to the Hakim, Hakim Sahib will give you diet. You'll pay him for that diet. And then on top of that, we thank him. We send hadiah also. From the time I practice on this diet, I'm so healthy. But that which Allah Ta'ala has made haram, that our health also is protected and our deen also is protected. It's only protection for a person. So in the salah, this is not a burden. We cannot make shukr to Allah Ta'ala for this. Ke Allah Jalla Shanuhu ne mujhe zarra be miqdar ko pehle ashraful makhlouqat banaya. But look at the favor of Allah. That I am useless. I was absolutely nothing. And in spite of being nothing, what Allah Ta'ala made me? Ashraful makhlouqat. The most honored of the creation of Allah. پھر اپنے دربار میں روزانہ پانچ بار عرض معروض کرنے والا عرض معروض کرنے اور اپنے حاجات پیش کرنے کے لیے حاضری کی بڑی تاکید فرمائی. اینڈ آفٹر میکنگ می دا بیسٹ آف کریشن اللہ تبارک و تعالی ہیز ایمفسائز دیٹ آئی پریزنٹ مائی سیلف ان دا کورٹ آف اللہ تبارک و تعالی فائیو ٹائمز اے ڈے اینڈ وٹ ایور مائی نیڈز آر that I present these needs to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So look at the kindness of Allah. I'm the best of creation, and now come to my court, and whatever your needs are, you present your needs before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Aur jab ji chahe, naflo mein haziri ka izn aam diya. And Allah ta'ala has given general permission, that whenever you want to read nafil namaz, you feel you want to engage in conversation with me, that at any time, except those times where it is not permissible to perform salah, like we did at the time of sunrise, or zawal, at the time of sunset, or the makruh time, besides these times, whenever you want to engage in nafil namaz, you've got full permission that engage in nafil namaz. Person 2 o'clock in the morning, his eyes open, or person can't sleep at that time, wake up at that time, engage in ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, engage in conversation with Allah Ta'ala at that time. And those are the best hours, our working hours, 8 to 5. You go to the government office, they open their 7:30, 8:00. By the time they start work, they have their tea and they warm up, 8:30, 9:00. And they're closing 4:30. And you go there, 3:30, they say, no, now we're closing up now. Come back tomorrow. But Allah Ta'ala, your contact Allah Ta'ala, it's not like that. 24 hours Allah Ta'ala's offices are open. And if a person, when we phone somewhere in this world, they say for English press 1, for Afrikaans press 2, for Zulu press 3, for this language press 4. Allah Ta'ala any language. Allah Ta'ala understands every language. And a man that is dumb, Allah understands him even better. A man that is deaf, Allah hears him even better. So Allah Ta'ala's offices are open 24 hours. Anytime a man wants to make nafil namaz, then you make your nafil namaz and you engage in conversation with Allah. Or is haziri mein kisi safarishi aur darbaan ka ihsan man nahi banaya. And in this presenting ourselves in the court of Allah, Allah Ta'ala did not make it such that we are in need of the favor of some interceder, of some God. Like we mentioned that God, we require His permission to come in. No, over here you come. General, you got general permission. Or we don't need anyone to intercede on our behalf. Sometimes we know that, you know what, I can't get my work done. So we tell one guy, hey, you got good contact, make a plan, then organize a meeting for me. Yeah, you don't need nobody to organize a meeting. You got a meeting with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala directly. Or meri tarri susti, jahalat, or khaishat e naftani ke ghalaba wa ghaira se, jo ghair hazir hokar, mahroomi ka sabab ban sakta tha, اس سے بچانے کے لئے سخت وعیدوں اور عذاب کا اعلان فرمایا. And Allah تبارک و تعالی has to protect this human being, to protect insan from that natural laziness. Sometimes a person is lazy. He feels that now today I'm not going to read namaz. I'll read namaz later. So that natural laziness, to protect him from that natural laziness. Or to protect him of ignorance. Or to protect him from that desire, the carnal desires that a person has and overpowers a person sometimes. So because of this, these could be obstacles and means to stop a person from coming for salah. So for that Allah Ta'ala, what He brought, His severe warning and His azab. He said that if you don't read namaz, then this is what is going to happen. So a person, even if he's feeling lazy, he'll think of the azab. And now Allah Ta'ala is going to punish me. So no, let me go to the masjid. So because of the azab now, you will come to the masjid. Or a person, for example, is ignorant or now carnal desires, because of his desire now to take a rest, a person doesn't want to come to the masjid. But he'll just think, what azab if I miss one namaz, one qaza I made, make 80 years in Jahannam just for qaza. What is the punishment of missing that namaz? You mentioned that person that misses that namaz, one farishta will be appointed that take a rock. And that rock will be taken and his head will be crushed. And then that rock will roll. And then his head will be brought back to normal. And when it is brought back to normal, then this farishta will take it and crush his head again. This will be, if you miss, for example, Fajr namaz, from the time of Fajr right up to Zohar. So this is the azab. So when a person just has to think about this, that this is the azab for missing one namaz. Now a person, even if he's lazy, whatever it might be, he will get up, he'll say, let me go to the masjid and let me perform my salah. But we shouldn't read it for this reason. We should perform because it's my command of my Allah. I want to please my Allah. Keep this in mind and fulfill the command of Allah. اب مجھے جان لینا چاہیے کہ ایسی نعمت عظمہ اور محبوب حقیقی کے کرم سے محروم رہ کر اپنے محسن و خالق و مالک اور دنیا و آخرت کے چارہ ساز کو ناراض کر کے سخت عذاب کا مول لینا بری نادانی اور کمینہ پن ہے. He says, now I should understand this, that for me to be deprived of such a great ni'mat of Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala, and the kindness of Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala, and to do this please that person who is my muhsin, my benefactor, my creator, and Allah ta'ala is my malik, He is my master, and the one that takes care of and in charge of all my affairs and of dunya and akhirat, that for me to displease that Allah and to purchase the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala by just obeying Him. He says this is total foolishness and this is the indication that a man is totally base. He is so low that in spite of all these bounties, he still displeases Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this is the second point that he summarizes. The third point. Namaz mein dil ki huzuri jis ke husool ka tariqa to bayan mein wadi hai ke koshish ki jaye کہ نماز کے ہر رکن میں کم از کم کوئی لحظہ ضرور حضوری کا میسر آ جائے. That in namaz, the heart of a person has to be present. So he says that the method of attaining this, so he says this has already been explained in the bayan, that how a person should present his heart, that an effort should be made that in every posture, what we explained already, in every posture, that for one moment also, a person should think of Allah Ta'ala. And we mentioned previously, Mulana Madni Rahmatullah Alayhi said, even in the entire namaz, even more easier. In the entire namaz, he says, at least once in the entire namaz, a person should think of Allah Ta'ala. Is huduri ke wadahat mein, jo umur Hazrat Sayyid Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi ne tahreer farmaya hai. He says, regarding this presenting oneself in the court of Allah, a person must be present, he must be conscious. He says, the explanation of this, which Hazrat Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned, masalan, اپنے آپ کو اپنے رب کے سامنے جاتے اور رب کریم کو اپنے حال پر متوجہ سمجھے. That a person should contemplate that now I'm before Allah تبارک و تعالی and Allah تبارک و تعالی's attention is on me. جو کچھ زبان سے پڑھ رہا ہے اس کے معنی کو جانے. What a person is reading, that contemplate on the meaning of what you are reading. These are ways of contemplating in salah, of being conscious in salah. اگر مضمون اللہ کریم کے غصہ و عتاب کا ہو تو دل ہی دل میں خوف کرے. And when you come across those parts of the Quran where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is upset, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger is descending, so at that time a person fears اور پناہ چاہیے and seek protection. اور جو مقام رحمت اور عنایت کا ہو, and those places where the rahmat of Allah ta'ala is descending, the favors of Allah ta'ala is descending, تو دل ہی دل میں اس کے حصول کی تمنا اور عرضو کرے. Then in the heart of a person desire that these bounties of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala I also want. اور نفلوں میں مشق کے دوران چاہیے اس کیفیت کے حصول کے لیے آیات کو بار بار پڑھنا پڑے. That's in your nafil salah. For a person now to practice, to gain this condition, a person should can repeat these آیات of the Quran again and again. Where for example a person comes across the آیات of Jannat, now he desires that. So read that آیات again and again and desire that. A person came across a آیات of عذاب, read that again and again, and then seek protection from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in your heart from there. So he says, in your nafil salah, a person should make mashq of these things. That's the third point. The fourth point. یہ کہ نماز کی عظمت کو خود سمجھنے کے بعد تمام آداب کے بادشاہ حقیقی کے قبولیت کے لائق ہے. He says, that after understanding the greatness of namaz, after understanding how great namaz is, he said, a person should try and implement all these etiquettes that will make the salah worthy of acceptance in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Ye ke namaz ki azmat ko khub samajhne ke baad tamam adab ke badshah-e haqeeqi ke qabooliyat ke laiq hai inko baja laye. That implement all these adab and etiquettes that will make it worthy of acceptance in the court of Allah. Like we mentioned previously, that he mentioned that a person has to make wudu, purify himself, and then come in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So he's mentioning this point here again. In آداب میں اول درجہ میں طہارت اور پاکیزگی ہے. That from among these etiquette, the first is that a person has to cleanse himself, he has to purify himself. دوسرا نماز کا طریقہ, یعنی وضو اور نماز کے فقہی مسائل جو رسالہ تعلیم الاسلام وغیرہ میں بیان کیے ہیں. That he says the method of performing salah and the masail of salah and the masail of wudu which have been mentioned in the kitab such as تعلیم الاسلام. اگر نہ معلوم ہو تو پہلے اس کو سیکھ لو. If you don't know the masail of salah, the masail of wudu, so he says first learn the masail of salah and learn the masail of wudu in the kitabs of fiqh like تعلیم الاسلام or whichever other kitab of fiqh it might be, تعلیم الحق, learn it from there. خواہ جتنے دن اس میں لگ جائے, irrespective how many days it takes to learn the masail, he says then to learn the masail, تاکہ نماز کے تمام فرائض و واجبات و مستحبات اور مفسدات ومکروحات خوب پہچانے. Why is it so important that we need to learn these masail? Because when we will learn these masail, you'll know what is faraz in namaz. You'll know what is wajib in namaz. What is mustahab in namaz. What is muftidat. What will nullify your namaz. And what is makruh in namaz. All this you'll know only when you study the kitabs of fiqh. So he says that is why you need to study those kitabs to know these things. For example, when we went for hajj, so we were on the bus, and it was the time of salah, so we had to perform our salah. So there was no water, but there was only that amount of water that was sufficient for drinking. So we said, you know, we can use this water and let us make wudu, and later on we'll get water again for drinking. So now a person had to only make the farz wudu, only the farz wudu. Now if a person doesn't know what is farz in wudu, how is he going to act upon the farz? Or in namaz, a person has to cut his namaz short somewhere. So now if he's going to leave out a farz in namaz, What's going to happen? That namaz is invalid because you left out a farz in namaz. Person left out a mustahab, a person left out a sunnah, it is acceptable, there's no problem with it. But if you left out a farz in namaz, now namaz is invalid. So therefore he says that if a person doesn't know the masail of namaz, then first learn these masail of namaz, even though it might take a couple of months also, but learn the masail of namaz first. Taake is darje mein isko malhooz rakhe, so that everything can be kept in its place. What is farz is kept in its place. What is wajib, that is kept in the place. A person knows, now I missed out a wajib. And this was done unintentionally. Now I must make sajda sahu. Or if that wajib was omitted intentionally, person knows namaz is wajibul i'ada. He has to repeat that namaz all over again. And if he doesn't repeat it again, he is absolved from his responsibility. He is absolved of his responsibility, but he will be very, very sinful. So all these masail, a person should know first. Ye baate to suluk ikhtiyar karne se pehle seekhni zaruri hai. He says, before spreading this path to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, taking the path of suluk, all these masail you must know before that also. Before you start spreading the path, you want to become a friend and a wali of Allah ta'ala. But the basic, the ABCs you don't know. So first learn this, and then spread the path to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Humne ihtiyatan isliye likh diya ke baaz zakir shaghil hazrat iski taraf khususi tawajjuh nahi hoti. He says this we wrote as a precautionary measure. Why? Because many people that are involved, they are so busy making zikr of Allah. Spiritual exercises they are making. But these masail, they don't show any importance. They don't know these masail, but they are busy making zikr. What is farz, what is more important, that is what they should pay attention to. And then later on, all the spiritual exercises that can come thereafter. But this is first. In unhi mazkura bala farais, wajibat, sunan mustahabbat, ka namaz ke har rukan mein dhyan rakhna. So he says, now when a person he performs salah, then what is farz in namaz? So when a person is performing salah, he must now contemplate in his mind. Think, this is farz in namaz. Wajibat, what is wajib? In namaz, he must think, this is wajib. The first sitting posture, after two rakats I'm sitting, this is wajib. To read at-tahiyyat is wajib. In the second sitting posture, the last sitting posture, just to sit for the duration of at-tahiyyat, that is farz. And to read the at-tahiyyat, that is wajib. So now he contemplates that this is wajib, this is farz. Sunan, mustahabbat, this is sunan, this is mustahab. In every posture of namaz, that this ruku I'm going into, the ruku is farz. The sajda that I'm making, these sajdas, they are farz. To read durood sharif after at-tahiyyat, this is a sunnah. This is among the mustahabbat. Similarly, the dua that is recited after that. For a person to make salam, that is wajib. So he has to know what is wajib in namaz, what is farz in namaz, what is sunnat in namaz, what is mustahab in namaz. So he says, this is what har rukan mein dhyan rakhna namaz mein dil ki huzuri kehlati hai. This is what is called consciousness in namaz, that the heart is present. Now when you're thinking in every posture, this is farz, this is wajib, this is sunnat, this is mustahab in namaz, this means that the heart of a person is present. That is why he is conscious of what is farz. But first, a person will have to know. He'll have to memorize these things. He'll have to remember these things. What is farz? What is wajib? What is sunnat? What is mustahab? This ki ahmiyat, Hazrat Sayyid Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi ne bayan farmai hai. He said the importance of all this, he says Hazrat Sahab Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned it. Aur namaz mein huzur qalb ka yahi matlab. Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Faisani Rahmatullah Alayhi ne bhi bayan farmaya hai. Mujaddid Al-Faisani Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was a great reviver of deen in the second 1,000 years of Islam. Mujaddid Al-Faisani Rahmatullah Alayhi. And it is mentioned many rusumat, many bid'at that were found. Mujaddid Al-Faisani Rahmatullah Alayhi, he got rid of all this. So he was a very great buzrug. So he mentioned that what is huzur, what is presence of the heart. According to Mujaddid Al-Faisani Rahmatullah Alayhi, think of what is farz, what is wajib, what is mustahab, what is sunnah, that if you contemplate of this in every posture of salat, he says this is considered as your heart is present in salat. Junaat-e maktub baname Hazrat Mir Muhibbullah Khalifa-e Khas Hazrat Mujaddid Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh Baad Hamd wa Salat Tahreer farmate hain. He says in the writings of Hazrat Mir Muhibbullah, who was a Khalifa of Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Faisani Rahmatullah Alayh, after praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he mentioned, janna chahiye, khuda tumko seedha raasta dikhaye. That you should know, Allah ta'ala show you the correct path, ke namaz ka mukammal hona, aur iska kamal, faqir ke nazdeek, that for your namaz to be completed, and for your namaz to be perfect, according to this servant, who referring to Mujaddid Al-Faisani rahmatullahi, that for the perfection of namaz and for the namaz to be completed, according to Mujaddid al-Thani rahmatullahi alayh, is ke faraiz wa wajibat aur sunan wa mustahabbat ka ada karna hai. It is lies in fulfilling that which is farz, wajib, sunan and mustahab. That you must know what you are doing, that you are fulfilling all these four things. He says this is the completion and the perfection of salah. Jis ko kutub fiqh mein tafseel se bayan kar diya gaya hai. This has been explained in detail in the kitabs of fiqh. What is faraz, what is wajib, what is sunnat, what is mustahab. All in the kitabs of fiqh, the details are there. In Besties they were, we did the other day, all the faraiz of namaz, all the wajibat of namaz. Some of the sunnats we are discussing. So all this is written in the kitabs of fiqh. In char umur ke alawa, aur koi amar aisa nahi, jisko namaz ki takmeel mein koi dakhal ho. He says, besides these four things, faraz, wajib, sunnat and mustahabbat, he said, besides these four things, there is no other external thing, there is nothing else that is part and contributes to the completion of namaz. It is these four things, the entire namaz comprises of these four things, nothing besides these four things. If these four things are found, the faraz, wajib, the sunnat and the mustahabbat, your namaz is perfect. It is completed. There is nothing besides this. So he says, khushu inhi charo umur mein mundarij aur khudu unhi umur se wabasta hai. He said, your khushu, your internal concentration, your connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and your external limbs of the body being in order. He says, all this, he says, is confined to these four things. So your entire namaz is connected only to these four things. Aage chal ke likhte hai, la salata illa bi hudur il qalb. Further he writes, there's no namaz except with the presence of the heart. That the heart of a person has to be present. Otherwise there is no namaz. Huzur qalb se murad, umur mazkura, char gana mein huzur qalb hai. He said that the presence of the heart, this is in these four things that we have mentioned. Yani dil ki tawajjuh, the concentration of the heart. Dil ki tawajjuh aur khiyal ke saath namaz ke tamam faraiz wa wajibat, sunan wa mustahabbat ka ada karna. That to perform your salah with concentration of the heart by fulfilling the faraiz, wajibat, sunan and mustahabbat. Taake koi kotai in umur mein waqi na hone paaye. So that there is no deficiency in these matters. In these four things there is no deficiency whatsoever. Iske alawa, aur koi huzur e qalb faqir ke samajh mein nahi aata. He says, besides this, he says that this servant, Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullahi alayhi, says that besides these things, there is nothing else that I can say that will bring concentration of the heart. He says, these are the four things. Be conscious of these four things. In this, a person will gain concentration of the heart. We'll continue from here tomorrow. Inshallah, today we'll do one practical. Previously, we used to do the practical in the end. On the last day, we used to do the practical. So, inshallah, from this year, there'll be a little change. We'll do one posture as we're doing the kitab also. Because in the end, to do all the practicals, the entire namaz, person cannot remember. So we'll just do one posture today, inshallah. So if we can all go into the stuff, one stuff, and we'll do the takbir al-tahrima, then I'll quickly just check it. When a person, when we're commenting our salah, so the head of a person must be straight. Many a time what we do, we keep our head like this. So that's incorrect. The head mustn't be kept down. So we are looking at the place of sajda, but the head mustn't be kept. So the head must be straight, but the gaze of a person, the eyes, that should be at the place of sajda. So head is straight, and the eyes at the place of sajda. Right? So that is how we stand initially. And then a person, when we say Allahu Akbar, so when we start Allah, from there we pick up our hands. Allah, right? So we start Allahu Akbar, right? So when we pick up our hands, so in this way, when we come, that all, the entire palm, everything, not this way, many people it is this way. So everything, the fingers should be left, there should be a slight gap between the fingers, like normal, like how your fingers are normal, we leave it at normal. There are only two places where this will differ. The one is in the ruku. When you're in ruku, then your fingers will be wide apart, and you'll grip on your knee. That's in ruku. And the other one is in sajda. When you're in sajda, all the fingers must be together. All in this way. Even the thumb shouldn't be like that. Even the thumb should be like this. And flat on the ground. Flat on the ground, and all the fingers together. That's in sajda. And in ruku, it must be wide apart. But everywhere else in salah, your finger will be kept normal. So here when a person lifts up his hand, so look, the palm must be facing directly in the direction of the qibla. Put your fingers slightly apart in the direction of qibla. So a person, Allahu Akbar, right? So in that way. And then when a person, he ties his hand below the navel. I see some people keep it above the navel. If you're a Shafi, that's a different mazhab. Shafi mazhab, they keep it above the navel. Hanafis, below the navel. Below the navel. And in this way, that these three fingers, will keep it up here. These three fingers. Right? And with the baby finger and the thumb, this you will make a ring. For example, like my wrist now. It's fat now. So it won't come completely. But if a person, his wrist is very thin, and he got long fingers, then he can get this ring. So these three fingers here, and with the baby finger and the thumb, a person should make a ring around the wrist. So that's one posture. So again, I'll just mention it. Head should be kept straight. And a person, he lifts up his hand in the direction, directly in line with the qibla. And Allahu Akbar. A person should now bring it below the navel. These three fingers above. And with the thumb and the baby finger, a person should